Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Aletheia Church, Boston. Aletheia exists to bring the truth, grace, and changing power of the gospel for the glory of God and the good of all people. For more information, visit aletheia.org.
Good morning. How are you all? Good. Hey, thank you so much for your giving. If you're grateful at all, do you like this church? Are you glad it's here? I am. Yeah, that was a little half-hearted, frankly, a little discouraging. All right, it's all right. It exists because of two moments, a youth retreat and a ENC conference. I came to faith in Jesus at a youth retreat, and I got called into ministry at an ENC conference. And so for those of you who are students and just on the bubble, I don't know if I'll go, and you're wondering, like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Here, the Lord wants you to go. That was easy. And for those of you that are giving to support that endeavor, thanks so much, because you have no idea what kind of cool, life-changing, destiny-altering moments you are allowing to take place. So thanks for that. Also, check out this cool water bottle I got. Do you know where I got it? Is in our Lost and Found. Sometimes I go shopping down there. Prices are great. Some of you, though, have left, like, journals, Bibles, what appear to be expensive articles of clothing. And so if you're like, hey, I lost a thing here recently. In fact, if this is your water bottle, you can come and have it back. I washed it before I used it, just so you know. And I'll wash it before I give it back to you. But it's overflowing. And so if you're wondering where that is, you can ask someone with a red shirt, and they will help you. And if you're like, I didn't lose anything, but can I go shopping? No. No. All right. Please open your Bible to the book of Romans, chapter 10. We're in season 3 of our teaching series in the book of Romans, where we've been meditating on what God was thinking in the way he has sovereignly arranged salvation to take place. And so we continue that meditation in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 5 to the end of the chapter. So let's read. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. And then Isaiah is so bold to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me, and I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Spirit, would you come today, now, in this moment? Thank you that you are here. You've been here in worship. You've been here in fellowship. You've been here in laughter. And as we return our tithes and offerings to you, would you come now and breathe through the preaching of your word? In Jesus' name, amen. It's probably no surprise to most of you that I'm a nerd, right? You're like, yes, we know, okay. Grade A-level pocket protector owning nerd. Nerdy about certain things. And one nerdy thing that I learned in seminary, I find just to be also terribly ironic. It is the doctrine of the perspicuity of Scripture. Yeah. Some of you are like, ooh, perspicuity. What does that mean? This is why it's funny. Because perspicuity refers to the idea that the gospel is really simple and easy to understand. Right? And so only a theologian could come up with a word to obfuscate simplicity, right? That's what we do, because we have to justify our existence. So we make jargon out of words that need not be there. It simply refers to the fact that the gospel is simple enough that my children, when they're little, get it. And it's beautiful enough that we can meditate on it, and we'll never plumb the depths of it. And people like you and me, we like simple, sort of. People like you and me, people who tend to be found here in Cambridge, people who are nestled as we are between, you know, Harvard and MIT and all that good stuff, tend to be, or at least think they are, smart. I'll leave it to you to decide which one of those you are. And when you're smart, you don't like things to be simple, either because you are suspicious of them, like it can't be that easy, or you feel that it affronts your pride because it doesn't differentiate you on the basis of your intelligence. But the gospel is simple. It is very simple. It's profound. It's challenging. It's difficult to obey. But it is not complicated. The message of the gospel is simple. And so what I want to show you this morning is how Paul lays this out for us and what our response has to be to this simple, clear, unambiguous, perspicuous gospel. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law in verse 5 of chapter 10. That the person who does the commandments will live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, don't say in your heart who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down, or who will descend to the abyss to bring Christ up. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that you confess, that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what is Paul saying? Well, remember that we're in the middle of a conversation that Paul is having about how it can be that God is sovereign and good and faithful if Israel is not believing in their Messiah. And so he's meditating on that. He's going to return to that topic here in the next chapter, and we'll talk more about that over the coming weeks. But one of the things that he doesn't want us to say, and one of the charges that he doesn't want us to make, is that charge of, oh, it was too complicated, and I just didn't understand it. Or, oh, it was so out there, it was difficult for me to get, and I couldn't put my hands around it. Because Paul wants us to see, man, this thing is simple. It's simple. He says, no one needs to go climb up into heaven to pull Christ down, and no one needs to go down into the earth to pull Christ up. What's he referring to? He's referring to that overactivity that you and I love to do when we're trying to make things complicated. Right? Like, let me give you an example. You're in your small group, and you're sharing about an issue. And at the end of your small group, your small group leader pulls you aside just before as everyone else is leaving, and say, "Hey, let me just chat with you really quickly." And he or she might say, "That issue that you brought up, I want to challenge you. It's an issue of obedience. So obey." What do you immediately do? Defense, right? No, it's not simple because my upbringing, and my biology, and my ba 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 ba, and you make it really complicated when it's not. And so what do? You try to climb up to heaven with your mind, with your doctrine, with your yeah, but, with your I read a book once, with I heard on a podcast, with a footnote that you might have, you know, kind of glanced at. Let's be honest, most of you didn't read the footnotes, but you know what I mean? Like, you heard a thing once that you're pretty sure means that it's more complicated than that, and you love complexity, because when smart people make the simple complex, we become powerful. When smart people make simple things complicated, what we do is we take ownership of Christianity all to ourselves. We say, well, you don't understand how it works. It actually goes like this. Always beware of people who cannot clearly explain their own ideas, but assure you that they're right. Jesus told us cosmic truths in stories about sheep and food and flowers. If any of you wrote that on a paper that you were going to turn into your professor, you'd be laughed right out of the classroom. And here is the Lord of all creation, capable of dishing Socrates-level philosophy. And he's talking to kids. What's that mean? It means this thing's not complicated. And we want to climb up to heaven with our knowledge and touch Christ so that we can gain in our own selves the consilience of all understanding, and it's never promised to us and certainly not required for us to be obedient. In fact, the Bible warns us against knowledge. It says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Neither should we descend down into the depths to pull Christ up again. What does this mean? This means the gospel isn't about you constantly dying over and over again and becoming like ascetic, you know, and this sort of driven neo-John the Baptist kind of camel hair, leather belt, eating bugs. It sounds like the next cool diet anyway that one of you should probably write that book and make money. And when you do tithe and then we can buy a building, that'd be great. I'm going to work that into every sermon from now until the day we get one. Just so you know. It's not complicated. He says, no. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can it really be that simple? Like you don't have to have an understanding of the doctrine of justification. You don't have to read Greek. You don't have to have an MDiv. You don't need to be in the presence of a professional pastor. You mean it's simply the message that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And Paul's answer is, it's just that simple. It's difficult, but it's not complicated. It's challenging to live obedient to that confession, but it's not complex. He says there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all. Do you mean, Paul, that there's no two or three tracks to Christianity? That there's no multiple paths up the mountain? Yeah, because it's not a mountain. It's an infinite chasm between us and God, and there's one path, and it doesn't require us to ascend up and pull Christ down. It's the simple news that Christ has come down to bring us up. And if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Wow. And that message is effective whether you're Jewish or you're Greek, or put more in more modern terms, whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you're black or white, whether you're young or old or rich or poor, whether you're really intelligent and getting it done with your life, whether your life feels like a shattered mess and you can barely hold it together, there's one message. One message. You don't need to bring your CV to Jesus. You needn't show up with your references because they're just like you. It's simple. The gospel is simple. It is a simple message that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Why does that save us? Because if Jesus is Lord, the resurrected Jesus, and obedience flows from that. Trust flows from that. If there's one Lord, one ruler, one God, one guy who gets to call the shots, and his name is Jesus, everything else is fine. It'll all work itself out. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This simple message has, therefore, a very simple method for getting around. Let's read. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Some of you, I say, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are called to preach the gospel. You're called to go to foreign places. You're called to go to difficult places. And you're arguing with God because you'd rather do something else. I remember that argument. I was very good at arguing with God about that. But God, I like this better, and I want to do this better, and I understand this, and you made me good at this. Why would you call me to be a pastor? I don't even like pastors. I want to do this. True things I said. I also said I would never plant a church. I also said that I would never live in New England. So I'm going to start saying I will never be a billionaire, and I will never regrow my hair. Yeah, I will never do that. How are they here without a preacher, and how they preach unless they're sent? Some of you are called into vocational ministry, but all of you are called to preach. Take your finger like this. All right, now drive it forcibly into your chest. And repeat after me. I am a preacher. A message resonates off your life, my friend. People think about something when they think about you. What is it? Do they think about Jesus or do they think about you? How many of you have heard the words of St. Francis of Assisi? Preach the gospel at all times, but use words only when necessary. Show of hands. Okay. Two things about that. There is no extant historical evidence that he ever said such a thing. And two, if he had, he'd still be wrong. Because the gospel is news, and you cannot tell news with your body. That's why when you turn on the news, they're not like miming. They're saying news, right? You can read the news, but no one's like, come, let's do the news, right? Like, you can't do the news. That's yoga or a whole different thing. Like, right? You can't do, now, that news will change. What is that phrase is meant to say? Hey, don't be a hypocrite. Like, live out the message of the gospel. And that's true, and that's good. And yeah, please don't be a hypocrite. And yes, do live out the message of the gospel. But like, most of you, if we're honest, just think that means like, okay, like, tip a little better, right? You should all tip better, by the way. Tip a little better. You know, help old ladies across the street. You know, pay your taxes on time. You know, be an upstanding citizen. Cuss less. You know, whatever. And do you really think that that's how the message of the gospel is going to go forth? Do you think that there's going to be someone serving you at a restaurant this afternoon, and because you tipped 22% instead of 19%, they're going to be like, Jesus must be Lord? Do you think that? I don't think that. I was a server for a decade in restaurants, a full 10 years from the time I was, because my grandfather owned them, and child labor laws don't matter then. I can assure you, I never thought holy things about the people that I waited on based on their tippage. I just thought, oh, I can buy some stuff with that. You have to open your mouth. You have to say the story. You have to tell us the news. You have to tell those who've not believed that if they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Do you feel yourself trying to make it complicated now? Right, feel that? Like, but. I am, and then you fill in the blank with whatever it is that you're doing, and it's going to be very difficult for me, given all of my, and then you fill in the blank with all the reasons that it's going to be very difficult for you. So I've been teaching people to talk about Jesus for an immense amount of time, and I can boil all problems with that down to two problems. One is a lack of preparation, and the other is fear. This one's easy, actually. Like, there it is. You could just memorize Romans 10, right here, 10:10. That'll be all right, 10:9 and 10. This one's harder. You're afraid. I'm afraid of what they'll think. I'm afraid of what they'll say. I'm afraid I won't get the promotion. I'm afraid that my platform will decrease. I'm afraid that I won't have. I'm afraid. Listen, I appreciate that. I'm afraid too. I want to be liked. I don't want people to not like me. I don't want to get weird looks. I don't want people to push me away because of the things that I say or don't say. We all want to be liked and accepted. That's because you're humans. If you don't wish to be liked and accepted, I'm pretty sure that makes you a sociopath. So, that's a normal response. So, telling the story of Jesus, and especially telling the story of what Jesus has done in your life, requires courage. And just so you know, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the decision you make in the face of fear to keep doing what Jesus said to do. If you feel afraid, good. That means you're like, emotional radar is working, right? Fear is a proper response to some things. Fear is what causes you to do what Jesus said, to count the cost. If you open your mouth, they might not like you. If you open your mouth, these seven or eight things might happen. If you open your mouth, just be silent. You know, there are countries in which Christians are forcibly silenced. But only in the West do we forcibly silence ourselves. There are countries where you can hang or be shot for uttering the name of Jesus. But only here in the West are we seized with fear that we might not be on the in crowd if we open our mouths about Jesus. Can I tell you just a secret? It's worth it. You're not going to be on the in crowd if you really are allegiant to Jesus. You're never going to be. And if you care more about being on the in crowd than being allegiant to Jesus, then this is a good indicator to you that you are not allegiant to Jesus. You're allegiant to the in crowd. You care more about being in your group or being accepted by this professor or being in this political movement or being something else. But if you're not more concerned about Jesus' affirmation of you and acceptance of you than you are about your friends or your family's affirmation of you or acceptance of you, then that might be an indicator that, like, got to do a little business with the Lord. It's a simple gospel, simple message, simple method. The way it grows is by people saying it. And the way we plan for the gospel to grow in the city is not by multiplying my face everywhere. It's not just by getting bigger rooms and stuff. I mean, we're really glad that you're all here, and there's a bunch of you. That's why we have to launch a new service in a few weeks, which I'm really excited about. But we don't have church so that you can come here and merely hear from me. My job is to equip you to do the work of ministry. Don't believe me? Go read Ephesians 4, 11 through 18. God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for works of ministry so that we may attain unity and maturity. That's the order. I equip, we do, and then we grow. But if I equip and we don't do, or only some of us do, then how are the people you know going to hear about Jesus? Do you realize that for many of you, you are the only Jesus they have ever met? You're like, me? Yeah, scary, right? I don't go to work where you go to work. I don't know the people that you know. I'm not going to go to school with you. I'm not going to, and they're not going to come here, many of them. They're not going to be like, listen to Pastor Podcast. And you're like, they're not going to do that. Read this Christian book. Are you kidding me? People don't read books nowadays, right? They just put them on their shelves, like, so that when you come over, you're like, Next time you see War and Peace on someone's shelf, ask them about it. But first, make sure you read it, lest you be a hypocrite. Okay. Borrowed water bottle. Something about stolen water's tasting sweet. Is that appropriate? It's a simple message. It's a simple method. You have to say it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's why our strategy for making disciples is we engage our community with the gospel. And then we establish people in their faith. And then equip and empower them to engage their community with the gospel and establish them in their faith and equip and empower them to engage. It's like a multi-level marketing scandal, except it's not a scandal. It works because it's for Jesus, right? Like, that's it. That's the plan. It's not any more complex than that. God's plan to bring the gospel to Harvard is you Harvard students. God's plan to bring the gospel to MIT is you MIT students. God's plan to bring the gospel to your kids is you parents. God's plan to bring the gospel into your family is you sons and daughters. God's plan to bring the gospel into our city is through its citizens. That's it. You're like, but can't he do, I've heard of God doing miracles. Listen, yeah, he could, but he has chosen not to. And you're like, well, I don't like that. Well, I don't like it either. But I don't recall getting to vote. Did you get to register to vote for God's plans for the, I didn't. I missed that one. It's because kings don't ask us for our contribution to their plans. Kings expect of us our obedience to their commands. And our king is a really good king because our king hasn't sat up on a golden throne in heaven judging us. Our king has left his throne and taken on flesh and lived among us and died for us, proving that we can trust him. And then he rose for us, showing that he's powerful enough to do anything in us and through us. Resurrection power lives in you, my friend, if you have trusted in Jesus. Simple message. Simple method, and it requires a simple response. But I ask, have they not heard? Remember, Paul is going, why didn't Israel believe then? Did they just not hear? Indeed, they have heard, he says in verse 18. For, and then he quotes the Old Testament prophet, I believe it is, this is out of 1 Kings, yes? Their voice has gone out through all the earth, and their world to the words to the end of the world. I asked, did Israel not understand? So he said, well, did they hear? Yes. Well, did they miss it? Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. And then Isaiah is so bold to say, I've been found by those who didn't even seek me. I've shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. What does this mean for us, friends? It means this simple message, which is to be shared by a simple method, leaves us with a simple response. Obedience or disobedience? Obedience looks like the gospel going viral all over the world. Into people and nations and neighborhoods and languages and ethnic groups and everywhere. That was always God's intention. That's why Paul's quoting from his Old Testament right here and not just dishing new data for us. He's saying, listen, it was always God's heart to start with Israel and bring the good news of salvation through them to the world. That's always been God's heart. God's heart has always been for people who don't know him, always been for people who are far from him. He loves those who hate him. And he wants to use us to reach them. And if we won't, then we're just like ancient Israel. All day long, I've held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. For those of you who are followers of Jesus in this room, what does this mean? It means the message is simple and the method is simple. And the response is simple. So what are you going to do? Around here, we've got tools to train you. Some of you, you're like, oh, I've come to Aletheia a lot, but I don't really know how to do this stuff. Cool. Just step into our discipleship process. If you've never been to Discover Discipleship, that's where you start. Then move on to Life and Doctrine. Learn something a little bit about your faith. Then come on over to the class I teach, Making Disciples, where we teach you how to share your faith and your story, and then let you go do it. And then you can help somebody else. It's not complicated. Like, there's nothing else under the hood here. Like, if you were wondering, like, but no, really, what Aletheia is depending on, like, y'all, that's it. Like, that's a double entendre. Y'all, that's it. That's it. It's the gospel moving out from us. If the gospel stops with you, then it probably doesn't live in you. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God's heart and God's simple message to save any who would believe. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Which means Bernie ain't Lord, Trump ain't Lord, Lizzie ain't Lord, money ain't Lord, Jeff Bezos ain't Lord, America isn't Lord, whiteness isn't Lord, blackness isn't Lord, brownness of whatever shade isn't Lord, your gender isn't Lord, your sexual proclivity isn't Lord, your major isn't Lord, your job isn't Lord. Do you see? It's simple. It's difficult. Because the confession Jesus is Lord is one of the most political, one of the most personal, one of the most cosmic things you can ever declare. Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you belong to Jesus, my heart's cry for you is to say, man, we love you. We want to train you and equip you and empower you to share this good news. Heck, not just to share it. That's such a weak verb. To say it, to tell it, to proclaim it, to preach it. People preach about all kinds of things today. I can't leave this building when it's warm outside and not get approached by someone in a Planned Parenthood t-shirt preaching to me why I should give them $100 a month. That has led to some very fun conversations. And I think, wow, if this person feels free enough to tell me this, I should feel much more free to say what's actually true. You can't go on the internet and not get preached at. Good Lord. Twitter, I just open my phone and it's just, nope. Delete it. It's freedom. Chains fall. Fear bow. Just delete it. I rebuke that Twitter spirit. Just delete it. It's gross. Blah. Nothing profound. Okay, I'm gonna stop myself. Look at that, self-control. Somebody put a gold star in the chore chart for Pastor Adam. He exercised self-control. Just say it. What's keeping you from saying it? Fear? A lack of preparation? Okay. Now you know. And in the words of our Lord, now that you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. For those of you who aren't yet followers of Jesus, I have profoundly good news for you. Thank you for coming and checking out what Christians do and think. What makes a Christian, and what makes a church is not their pastor or their building or their music or their chairs or their denomination. It's their Lord and the message of their Lord. And wherever you're from and whatever you've done, however you feel, whatever you make, however intelligent you consider yourself to be or not, However large or small your family, however alone you may feel, whatever is going on in your life, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you, even me, can be saved. How freeingly perspicuous. Simple message. It demands you simply respond. God, help my friends in here today.